Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. Because we have with us on the line Bill Dumas, and Bill has his brother. His brother's been searching for his brother for how many years? Your brother been looking for his brother? Bill? No, I guess we have to push this button here. Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Is that your brother that's been looking for his brother? Or?
It's actually my uncle.
Your uncle has been looking for his brother, who was abandoned in Korea, abandoned by our government, by the wicked people who controlled our government back in a period of 53, 54, 55, along with 8,000 other American boys. Now, some of them obviously were killed and suffered horrible, horrible deaths, and some of them were used for medical experiments. But some of them were taken off to Russia as well, and some of them are still alive in North Korea. So Bill has taken that to himself to put together a video. I haven't seen the final edition of it, but I understand it's just come out now. Would you like to tell us a little bit about it?
Yes. This project I've been working on for about 3.5 years, actually 4 years now, but we finally got the film finished very recently, and we have a distributor, Seventh Art Releasing. But it was a very comprehensive story, first starting out telling the story of my uncle trying to find his brother, and then expanding into a much, much bigger story about POWs being abandoned in North Korea, and as well as in Vietnam, and basically throughout the history of this country, we've left POWs behind.
But you see, the average individual doesn't understand that because, you know, we're always told, we would never leave anybody behind. And that's just the opposite of the truth. Maybe your buddy wouldn't want to leave you behind, but your commander-in-chief would, and this happens over and over again.
Yeah, I guess that's right. That is so ingrained in our minds that we do not leave anybody behind, but that's more of a That's more of a battlefield cry that the soldiers don't leave each other behind on the battlefield. But once the war is over and there are still POWs being held, once that treaty is signed that ends that war, those POWs are often just forgotten.
And of course, this is what Henry Kissinger's view of the American soldier. He's quoted in the book The Last Days by Woodward and Bernstein as having said, the military people are simply stupid, dumb animals to be used for foreign policy purposes. Stupid, dumb animals. You see, they talk about, oh, how much we love our soldiers, but that's how the elite, and Henry Kissinger is one of those elite, that's how they really feel about them. And that's why he knew that we abandoned those soldiers over there, and he didn't care, but they've done everything, for the last 40 years not to let the American people know the truth about what really happened. It's been, what now, just about, 33 or 4 years since we abandoned them?
Well, it's been that many years.
For Vietnam.
For Korea, it's been over 52 years. The war ended in 1953. And a year after the war ended, our government just automatically declared everyone who was missing. There were over 8,000 MIAs from that war that were missing, and they just automatically declared them dead. Even though they knew full well that there were many still alive, not only in North Korea, but in the former Soviet Union.
All right, hang on. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. coming to them from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Bill DeMott, and he has been working for 4 years to produce a motion picture on the men who were abandoned, the boys from towns just like yours and mine who went off to Vietnam to fight and went off to Korea to fight and were abandoned by government leaders who did not care. In fact, they've done everything they could ever since they abandoned those boys to keep the American people from knowing. Oh, they keep saying how concerned they are, and we're going to spend another $10 million or $50 or $100 million trying to find the bones. But we're not interested in trying to find POWs because that's the last thing is they want the American people to realize. The involvement of the people at the highest levels of our government in that, and two of them, of course, were John Kerry and John McCain. But let me have you tell the story, Bill, because you've been at this and working your heart out for 4 years to try to produce a motion picture that would get the truth out.
Yeah, that's how this documentary film really expanded from the personal story of a man looking for his brother. When I started expanding the list of people I was interviewing, I went to Washington, D.C. and interviewed Jim LaSure, who was Jesse Helms' chief of staff in the Senate. And Jesse Helms' staff put together a group of people to investigate our government's policy towards POWs. And they came up with a pretty amazing report called An Examination of U.S. Policy Towards MIA POWs.
We actually carry that report, and we have it available to any of our listeners who want to get it. They can get it by itself or with our Vietnam special. But why don't you tell our listeners about what they did find?
Well, what they found was, what I was focusing on was the Korean War, was that POWs were, in fact, abandoned in North Korea, that the government knew about that and that they kept that secret. And that's basically the pattern of all the wars, and even more prominently the Vietnam War. And it was a very scathing report, and the Senate was forced to do something about it. They couldn't let that document just sit there. So they had to form a committee to do what was intended to be a full investigation.
Well, it wasn't really. It isn't most of the investigation just to make the folks back home feel that they're doing something? But the last thing they want is really to bring the truth out.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And at that time, the Clinton administration was trying to establish relations with Vietnam and open up trade relations with Vietnam. And I think that became the top priority.
Hold that thought there for just a moment, Bill. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Bill DeMott talking about the new movie he's put together, where he's actually gone back to Washington, D.C., and interviewed the key people there who know the truth about what happened, and then he's talked to other people who were instrumental in trying to get the information out. But because of the degree of control of the mass media, you're not going to get this story out. And even many of the facts that people in the Senate were trying to get out, like the people on the staff of Jesse Helms' committee, they never were able to get the information in that special report out on the fate of the men we left behind in the First World War and in the Second World War and in Korea. And in Vietnam, we do have that report, however. It's almost impossible to get out across America. It's available from Radio Liberty if you give us a call and ask for what we've referred to as the Helms Committee Report. Pick up the story there, Bill.
Yeah, that's absolutely a report that everybody in this country should read. And so when the report came out, the Senate had to set up a committee to investigate this, and also what happened at the same time was that almost the entire minority staff was fired.
Of course, they were not supposed to actually put together a report like that. Heavens, that would embarrass the senators.
Exactly. The report was very comprehensive, and not only were they coming up with very specific instances of POWs being abandoned. They had all this material, all documented basically by Pentagon documents. And in fact, Tracy Usry, who was a chief investigator on the committee, when he was testifying before the committee, he was asked, well, where did you get this information? And he said, well, I got it right from the Pentagon. I didn't have to go beyond that. And he said that while he was testifying, he was basically accused by Senator McCain of being a liar.
Well, of course, Senator McCain went over to the Vietnamese. The veterans that came back were POWs, hated McCain because he sold out his country. He was a traitor.
Senator McCain has been one of the biggest obstacles in this whole issue. And when I tell people that, they just can't understand it. And they say, but he was a POW. I said, well, there's a lot of reports of what his experience was as a POW. And when there was a bill introduced to punish any public official who hindered an investigation of POW MIAs, McCain was actually the only senator who vehemently opposed it and was able to cause that legislation to be rejected. It was passed unanimously in the House. It was sponsored by every Republican congressman and one-third of all the Democratic congressmen, but it failed because of McCain in the Senate.
Well, of course, McCain and Kerry were both traitors. They both supported the North Vietnamese. And the thing is that the fact that John McCain, you turn on the television, you see him so frequently. You pick up your news magazine, you see John McCain so frequently. We've got 100 senators. Why do they have John McCain there so frequently? Why? Because he's a traitor to America, and because the media supports traitors. Why would they constantly be building up a senator from the state of Arizona? Why, very, very simply, because they're preparing him for higher positions in our government. He has a different loyalty, and this is what the American people have to know. When the media is building up somebody in the Senate, and you see his picture day after day, and he's quoted day after day, you understand that he has been selected for higher positions.
Yeah, in fact, when he was a POW in Vietnam, he was already then talking about wanting to become president. And in fact, when he had an opportunity to be released early from the POW camps, he chose not to, because that would really look bad on his record that he chose not to be accepted that preferential treatment. But certainly, his records are sealed. And in fact, another bill which attempted to release classified documents concerning POW MIAs was in fact rewritten to the point where it actually became more difficult to declassify documents. And certainly McCain was behind that. He adamantly does not want his POW records made public. And now, because of that law, his records will never be made public.
And of course, the interesting thing was that when we were negotiating to extend, our trade relationships with Vietnam, they would have gladly given us our prisoners back. And John Kerry and John McCain did everything they could to make sure that they did not give them back. And I've talked to Bob Dorn and Congressman Bob Dorman, who told me that the Vietnamese had told them they had the prisoners. But of course, they got rid of Bob Dornan, and when he had a very, very questionable election, and there was all sorts of evidence of fraud, and the Republicans in Congress could have made sure that he got a fair shake. Newt Gingrich saw that he didn't, because of course Newt Gingrich is a New Ager, he's a radical leftist, sold to the American people as a conservative. And yet, if you look at his voting record and the things he stands for, his friendship with Heidi and Alvin Toffler, who are New Agers and, of course, believe that the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence are outmoded, and, of course, they did everything they could to make sure that Bob Dornan wasn't there to tell the American truth about talking to the Vietnamese, who told him they were holding alive POWs, and not a word of that in the major media.
You know, that was also the case with North Korea. The North Korean ambassadors have met with my uncle several times, and they've told him they've been trying to negotiate with the American government to talk about POWs. They want that negotiation to occur at the highest levels, our president and the North Korean president. They want it on that level. When I was at a Pentagon conference on Korean War POW MIAs, I asked a panel. There's a panel of Pentagon and State Department officials, and I said, "Has any American president ever spoken directly with the North Korean president and asked for our POWs back?" And they had this little conference on the dais, and for several minutes they were talking about this, and a crowd got very restless, and they said, well, of course our president must have asked at some point in these 53 years, but finally they came back, and at first they said, we don't really understand your question, which was very clear what the question was. I repeated the question. They talked more among themselves, and finally someone from the State Department said, well, we don't have any official relations with North Korea, so no, an American president has never asked directly the North Korean president for the return of our POW.
Well, you know, what's really so interesting is the United States has been funding tremendous amounts of food for North Korea. And it isn't going to the people, it's going to keep the military from revolting against the leadership. We've been giving them massive amounts of oil. We were even building a nuclear power plant for them. We could have just said, we'll give you these things if you give our Savoys back. But that's the last thing our leaders really want. Yeltsin, at one point, had talked about, when he first came into power, about trying to find out if there were any live Americans in the gulag, and our leaders didn't want to hear about it, and certainly they didn't want to hear about the men who may still be in Vietnam and Laos. Have you run into that?
Oh, absolutely. When people say, wow, you know, those North Koreans are so evil for keeping up POWs, I said, no, it's not the North Koreans. It's our government not pursuing the POWs, because the pursuit of the POWs would mean that the government would have to admit that they left them behind to begin with, and they don't want to admit that they left them behind to begin with. People are going to ask, why did that happen? Why is it still happening? And so the government would have to deal with the public knowing that, well, after wars and conflicts, we leave our POWs behind.
And you would only understand that if you understand the true evil nature of the people who have gained control of the leadership of both political parties. And at that point, it really begins to make sense, because from a logical point of view, you would never abandon your men. So why don't you tell us about some of the other people you interviewed?
Well, I interviewed Senator Smith, because he was really one of only a couple senators on a 92 Senate panel that John Kerry was chairing.
And that's why, of course, he was such a good senator and a loyal American, and he supported all the Republican values, that the Republican Party ran a man against him in the primary, and then threw the entire force of the Republican Party again behind Sununu, so that Bob Smith lost the primary, because they knew, of course, he got nominated, he'd get elected by the people in New Hampshire, and the last thing they wanted was a senator who was concerned about our POWs and wanted to limit the power of government and big spending and wars and empire and all of these things. And so the Republicans went out to get Bob Smith. They're not supposed to. And that was, of course, why they said, well, we have to back our inspector in Pennsylvania. He's a sitting senator. We always back the sitting senator. Well, that's why, of course, they backed him. I mean, one of the most liberal senators, you know, in the entire United States Senate, and the Republicans backed him over an honest-to-goodness conservative. And then, of course, when it comes to Bob Smith, I wonder what their explanation was, always backing a sitting senator. They wanted to get rid of a sitting senator. What did Bob Smith tell you?
Well, Bob has had just amazing information. I was very lucky. It was a very difficult interview to finally get, and it turned out to be the longest interview I did. In fact, in the documentary, I have over 2 hours of extra footage, and one whole section is more the Senator Smith interview. But he admitted that the Senate didn't wholeheartedly go after this issue, and that things weren't followed up on. When the hearings ended, and the hearings ended really abruptly, they really should have gone into a second year, and they did not want to appropriate, did not appropriate funding to continue those hearings. They just scratched the surface. And the information they did get, especially on live sightings of American POWs in Southeast Asia and in North Korea, they didn't follow. First of all, they discredited all that information. They discredited the people who were presenting that information.
Well, of course, the last thing that they want is for the American people to find out. And, of course, who was the head of that? Who was the senator in charge?
Senator in charge, the chairman was Senator John Kerry.
Senator John Kerry. And isn't it interesting that George Bush didn't use that against Senator Kerry during the election? Senator Kerry had betrayed the men who fought over there. And he went over, he was supporting, it wasn't that he was against the war, he was in favor of the communists winning the war. That was what was wrong, and that was unforgivable. We'll be right back here in just a few minutes here at Radio Liberty.
Anglo-American establishment that gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking five glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Bill DeWall. Bill, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit more now. You were telling us you were interviewing the Senator Bob Smith, and because he is a good American, because he was very, very concerned about the prisoners there that were abandoned, why the Republican Party did everything they could to get rid of him. Now, I'm not suggesting the Democrat Party would do any different. The last thing that the leaders of either political party want is for the American people to learn the truth about the men we left behind. So what did Bob Smith tell you?
Well, one other thing he told me was when Pentagon officials were testifying before the committee, there was specifically one, and he actually names the official from the Pentagon's POWMIA office that he said outright lied to the Senate panel in that he said if that had happened on any other committee, that person would have gone to jail. He would have been arrested and sent to jail for lying to the committee. But because it was a POW issue, it was just pushed aside.
It's all right to lie about the POWs then. Is that right? Is that what he was saying?
That's basically what he was saying. Because it's anything that's going to cause more attention to this issue, the government is not going to pursue that. And in fact, there was an investigator, a Senate investigator by the name of John McCreary. I believe he's either with the State Department or was with the State Department at one point. He actually brought up charges against Kerry during those hearings, and he said for malfeasance stemming from charges of tipping off the Pentagon officials who would be appearing before the committee, telling them what questions they would be asked so they could prepare answers.
Well, isn't that illegal?
That is illegal.
In other words, Kerry then was telling the people from the Pentagon what questions they were asked so they could cover the truth. Is that right?
That's correct. And not only that, but Kerry had shredded classified documents. How he answered that, he said, well, these were just copies of classified documents that his office had shredded. And as it turns out that, yes, many of them were copies, but it turns out there were also apparently some original copies, and these are live sighting reports.
And so what Kerry wanted was to destroy the evidence of those men we left behind.
That's true.
This man who was over there for 4 months, and then somehow or other, after 4 months, over there, he got to come home, whereas all the rest of the boys had to stay a year or a couple of years. There was always a force behind John Kerry. Go ahead, Bill.
Yes. This is something that they came up afterwards as well as that John Kerry's family, his wife's family, basically the Hines family, once these hearings were over and the United States did normalize relations with Vietnam, which they couldn't do until this issue was pushed aside, is that Kerry's family, the Hines family, his wife's family, received an exclusive real estate deal with the Vietnamese government that was apparently worth billions of dollars. And John Kerry's chief of staff, Francis Lenig, became a trade liaison to Vietnam. So these are all things that did not look very good at all. And actually, the press did try to bring this out only in one instance that I know, and that's the Village Voice. Ironically, a very left-wing liberal publication, the Village Voice did a cover story on John Kerry during the Democratic primary. And they showed, and it was amazing. It was a drawing of John Kerry standing on a grave with a headstone reading POW MIA, and he's shoveling dirt on it. And the headline said "Burying the Evidence."
Well, of course, the Village Voice, if it isn't communist, it's just about as close to it. And so most people would repudiate anything it said because, after all, we don't like the communists and we don't like the radical left. And so that would almost in many ways make Kerry look better by being attacked by that sort of individual or that sort of publication.
Yeah, but you would think that if Kerry is leading the liberal community at that point in time, being the presidential candidate, that you would think he'd have the support of a liberal paper, but they were obviously not backing him during the primaries.
Yeah, but I'm sure when we got to the election, why they would have backed him over, of course, the alternative.
Yes.
We're going to be back here in just a couple of minutes at Radio Liberty. And, of course, you ask which candidate we should have backed. We shouldn't have backed either one of them. They were both had their own agendas, and both came from exactly the same secret society, so secret that during the campaign, neither man would talk about skull and bones.
But if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we'll be back in just a moment with Bill. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Bill Dumas, and we're talking about his video. Bill, how can people get it? In fact, you were supposed to send me a copy. I haven't got it yet.
Really? No, I did put it in the mail to you, unless it got lost in the mail.
All right,
it's
fine.
It's well, happening fairly frequently with this project for some reason.
All right, well, that sort of thing does happen when you're trying to bring the truth out. Anyway, tell us how people, if they're interested, could get a copy of your tape.
The easiest way is to go to the website, which is www.missingpresumeddead.com.
Missing presumed dead, okay.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, there you can order it with a credit card. There's also bulk rate. We really drastically reduced the price for bulk rates because a lot of people have been buying quantities of the DVD and giving them out and passing them around. They've been dropping them off at libraries and schools and that sort of thing, trying to get the word out. So that's been very helpful. And we're also trying to get a campaign going, and we're getting some help with Kevin Shannon on this to get a copy of the DVD to every congressman, everybody in Congress, and also everybody that has anything to do with the powers that be that can do something about our POWs having been abandoned and needing to repatriate any that are still alive.
How long is the video or the DVD?
The documentary film itself is 65 minutes, and then there's also 2 hours and 15 minutes of extra footage from the interviews that aren't in the documentary. I actually had cut this film down from an original 4-hour rough cut down to 1 hour, so there's just an amazing amount of amount of material there.
Of course, is it on the DVD? If you get the DVD, do you get that extra material?
Yes, the extra material is all contained in the DVD. We also have a VHS version, and those are two separate tapes, and we charge an extra $15 for the extra footage on VHS. And also, if people don't have access to the web, they can also just write to me. I can give you my address.
All right, go ahead.
It's 91 Arlington Drive, number 7, and that's in Pasadena, California, 91105.
91105. Well, we'll give that one more time, because people never get it the first time anyway.
No. It's Arlington Drive, number 7, in Pasadena.
Mm-hmm.
California, 91105.
Okay, fine. Well, tell us, you know, about some of the other people. You talked to the gentleman who had worked for Senator Helms. You talked to Senator Bob Smith, who certainly was one of my favorite senators. We had a chance to meet him a number of times. Is he living down in Florida now? Where is he at present?
Yes, he's still in Florida. And as you know, he made a run for the Senate in the last election in the primary down there, but I don't think he made it too far there. I was hoping he'd get back in because, you know, there's really nobody pushing this issue in Congress. And I know both Senator Smith and Congressman Bob Dorn both told me that this issue is very difficult for a politician to pursue because there's very little support for it, and it takes an enormous amount of time to do the investigation and to try to get a committee set up in Congress to investigate.
Well, did you interview Bob Dornan?
What's that?
Did you interview Bob Dornan?
Yes, I did. I interviewed Bob Dornan along with his chief of staff, Al Santoli. And Al Santoli was very instrumental in putting together all the documents for the Dornan hearings in 1996.
Well, I know Al. I've met him a number of times. He's certainly a courageous guy, well informed about what's going on. And do you have him on the interview tape as well?
Yes, I actually interviewed him alone, and then when I went back to D.C. on another trip, I set up an interview with Bob Dorn. And at the time, actually, Bob Dorn's daughter Kate was co-producing the film for me, so she was setting these interviews up for me in Washington. And Bob Dornan really wanted to have Al there with him, like they were such a team during those hearings. And Al can fill in a lot of the gaps with all the details and all the specific information. But that was a very interesting interview. And I know what
did you learn? What information did Bob Dornan tell you that he was never able to get out to the American people because of the press censorship of this subject? What did he tell you? Did he tell you that he'd talked to the North Vietnamese and they had told him that they had prisoners and if we would simply give the money, we'd promise that they would return them? Did he tell that story?
He didn't specifically go into Vietnam because we focused so much on the Korean War. I did tell him at the time, I said, you know, if I'm successful with this film and recoup the costs and all, I'm going to do a follow-up film focusing on Vietnam, and I'm going to come back and interview him.
Well, he actually told me that, so, of course, we were talking about Vietnam. Anyway, tell me what you actually learned about Korea from Bob Dorn and from Al Santoli.
Mm-hmm. Well, what they really accomplished in those hearings, which they didn't do in 1992 in a Senate hearing, was the top witness was Colonel Philip Corso, who was President Eisenhower's liaison to the POW MIAs in North Korea. And when Philip Corso testified before the Senate, he revealed, he dropped a bomb, basically, that he had the evidence. He saw the evidence that we transferred, the U.S. government transferred, or rather the government had the information that we transferred over 900 American POWs from North Korea into the Soviet.
Well, we didn't do that, but that we knew that the Koreans and the Russian communists had transported 900 Americans up to the Gulag in Russia.
Right.
And we concealed that from the American people, didn't we?
We did. And he spoke specifically about the meeting he had with President Eisenhower in the Oval Office, saying that we have the intelligence reports. It's absolutely solid proof that this happened. And Eisenhower asked him, "What do you suggest we do?" And Philip Corso said, "Mr. President, I suggest that we not tell the American people about this, and because there's nothing that can be done about it."
Well, there was a lot that could have been done about it if they'd had the courage to do about it and quit.
Right.
If you're going to abandon your boys, if the American people knew that, they wouldn't have their sons and fathers and brothers going off with a government that is going to betray them.
And that's I believe, right there is the main reason the government keeps this whole issue covered up, because that exactly would be the problem that the military would be facing. How do we send our soldiers into war if we have this policy of abandoning them?
But it's been war after war after war after war. At least four wars that I know that they've done this.
That's correct. In the Dornan hearings, when Corso testified before the Senate, it was the top news story of that day. It led in. I know Dan Rather led the evening's news with that story. I got on a talk show the following day on Connecticut Public Radio. There was just this outrage about this whole thing.
Now, did Corso admit that before the Senate hearings?
He did.
How did he justify that? I mean, how as a moral individual do you justify abandoning these people to a life of hopelessness?
Well, what he stated was that we had a policy which he said had a name, was called a fig leaf policy, and that it was a government, an official government policy, and he had the number of the policy, had the information on the policy that he presented as evidence, that he said that tied their hands, because the policy stated that we could not make any strident statements towards the Soviet Union. We could not antagonize the Soviet Union, and we could not do anything against the Soviet Union.
Well, of course, the average American didn't understand that we financed the Soviet Union since the Russian Revolution, the best enemy money could buy. We couldn't let the American people know that. They wouldn't want to pay all their taxes, paying to create a military to actually finance, to be a stand against an enemy that we were financing. In fact, if you read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, we simply quote, Secretary of the Navy, John Layman, addressing the midshipmen at Annapolis, saying, within a few months you're going to be at sea looking across, 1,000 feet of water at some of the finest technology that America could produce. Only trouble is it's going to be on Soviet ships.
That's right.
And the American people mustn't know that. Oh, they must understand we're building up communist China today in preparation for the next war, just as we've always helped and financed communism. That would be just too horrible to admit. And yet, of course, if you don't have an enemy, how will you rally the people behind the government?
That's right. And getting people a feeling that they got to be protected by the government, and whatever the government does to do that is okay.
Right.
I should back up a little bit, because I did make a little mistake. When Corso testified before the Senate Select hearing in 1992, it did not make the news. It only made the news when he testified he gave the same testimony before the Dornan hearings. And what made the difference was that Bob Dornan and Al Santoli went to the Eisenhower Library, and they found the classified documents that proved everything that Corso had said. Basically, in the Senate hearings, and you'll see this on my documentary from the C-SPAN footage, is that John McCain basically calls Corso a liar right in front of the cameras. He just basically tells him he's lying.
Well, of course, what would you expect from a man who betrayed all the other POWs? When he was over there in Vietnam, he was called the prince by the other men who were being tortured. And, of course, I've got pictures of McCain hugging the man who was torturing the others.
Wow, that's incredible. And I know that because Dornan's committee listened openly to what the testimony was, and then follow up by finding documents to back up the testimony. And in the case with Corso, everything he said was documented. And that's when it made national news.
All right. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We abandon those boys, and men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And you can say, I don't believe it. You can get the documentation. We've got all sorts of four-tape sets, and we've got the Helms Committee report, and there's so much material out there. Bill has done a tremendous job, and I know people have seen the video. Yeah, I haven't seen the latest, the final edition of it, but I've seen it earlier, but I want to see the final edition as well. But I know my friend Kevin Shannon has seen it and says it's one of the most powerful things he's seen. So we need to get this information out.
Yeah, I think I run into so many skeptical people when I just talk about this, but if I can sit there for an hour and talk about it and win people over, but when they see the documentary and when I screen it to audiences, the rough cuts of it to audiences to try to see how everything's working, how the edit is working, it's really amazing to see the transition of people, you know, walking in, not knowing anything about the issue whatsoever, and then coming out and saying, oh my God, we abandoned POWs. How could that happen? We've got to stop this from happening. Because it's still happening. It's still happening in Iraq.
Well, I think that there's so much of the story that needs to get out. Now, are you showing this on the large screen, or is it just mainly for home use?
Well, I have a distributor, Seventh Art Releasing. They're trying to find a commercial market for the film. We haven't pursued the big screen. We have been pursuing Discovery Channel, I believe Bravo and some of the others, but not getting any headway yet with those outlets, unfortunately.
Well, I don't think that, of course, the people who control the media would allow that to get out. The last thing that they want is for the American people to know the truth, because we're going to expand the war. We're going to go to war with Syria, and we're either going to topple the Iranians or we're going to go to war with them, and you're not going to get people to go over there and fight if they know what happened in the First World War,
right,
and the Second World War, and the Vietnam War and the Korean War.
That's true. If this film were seen by everyone, it would require major changes to our military. I believe the public would demand major changes before you would see people enlisting in the service, that's for sure.
But I don't think it's the military. It's not the average military man would want, certainly, to bring the people home. It is the politicians. It's the Henry Kissingers. And the Richard Nixon, I mean, I could, you know, Richard Nixon, Watergate, that was nothing. The fact that he abandoned our boys, and he knew it, and he did it intentionally, and he didn't have the guts to come forward and admit it, that was what he never should have been forgiven for.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. I mean, left up totally to the military, this would not happen. That's absolutely true. And it really is when politicians are running the war, running the post-war, is when all this happens.
Well, what are your suggestions? How are you going to get wide dissemination of your video? You need to get this information out, and this is, from everything I've heard, it's excellent. So how are you going to, is there anything we can do to help you disseminate the book, disseminate the video?
Well, yeah, this is our plan is really to get this film out on a grassroots level.
Are you getting any help from the American Legion or from the Veterans of Foreign Wars or from the veterans groups?
I have not yet. And the Ed Bannis, who was the national commander of the VFW, is actually from my hometown back in Connecticut, a little town. And I spoke with him when he was a national commander, and he, you know, led me in a direction of, you know, who to send it to at the national headquarters in St. Louis, and I did that. And you know, I would just never get a return call. I would call them and say, "Did you see the video? You know, Mr. Bannis told me to send it to you."
How about the veterans the groups? In other words, the families. They're certainly the National Alliance, is certainly one of the organizations. There are a number of organizations, the families of the men we left behind. Have you had any help from them or support from them?
The National Alliance has been a big help. They've been a financial help in this project. They give me a lot of support. They've been the biggest sponsors of this project.
And they're good people. What about the National Alliance of Families?
That's who I'm referring to, National Alliance of Families.
Right.
And I also, and in fact, Dolores and Lynn O'Shea, Dolores Alphon and Lynn O'Shea are both in the documentary as well. Now, I did speak before the Vietnam Veterans Association, California branch, their board meeting, and they were very, very supportive. And well, so what we're doing now is I have somebody doing web research for me, and she's finding all the websites on the internet that all the organizations that deal with MIAPOW issue, veteran organizations, military organizations, human rights organizations, and we're about to just send out our promo materials to all those organizations and try to get everybody tuned into this project and helping us disseminate it to this.
All right, we're just about out of time. Our guest has been Bill Dumont. And again, would you like to give your website?
Yes, it's www.missingpresumeddead.com.
Missingpresumeddead.com. God bless you, Bill, and we'll look forward to talking to you on other programs real soon.
I appreciate you.
Bye-bye.
We have a brand new video today on the Oklahoma City bombing. It's called Oklahoma. It consists of a lot of never-before-seen video footage. Now, it was seen in Oklahoma City immediately following the bombing of the Murrah Building, but blacked out across America. And in this footage, you're going to see the commentators talking about the other bombs that were in the building at the time of the initial bombing. We're told, of course, that Timothy McVeigh acted independently. We're told many things by the media, but wherein does the truth lie? Oklahoma City, what really happened, it will give you the opportunity to see long-suppressed video footage of what really transpired. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Oklahoma City, what really happened.
And that, of course, is really cover-up in Oklahoma City. Have you ever wondered whether you're really getting the truth from the media? Have you ever thought that maybe somebody's controlling your reality? Well, there's going to be a meeting. It's going to be held at the Westin Hotel over by Great America. It's going to be on May 28th and 29th, and it's going to be at the Conspiracy Conference. Now, if you'd like to know more about the Conspiracy Conference, call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. This is the fifth exciting year they've had this. Dick Gregory is going to be there, Nick Begich. There's going to be Daniel Hopsicker, Jack McLam. I'm going to have a booth, although I'll not be speaking. You're going to see the contrast between good and evil. The Conspiracy Conference is a great educational opportunity. We hope that many of you will give serious consideration to going May 28th, 29th. That's 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we have a four-tape set on The Meth Men We Left Behind. We have another four-tape set on One Man Returned. That's The Men We Left Behind and One Man Returned. Well, One Man Who Returned, of course, was Bobby Garwood, and of course, they had to destroy him because they couldn't let him, come back as a hero, having escaped from communism and telling the American people about all the men who had abandoned. This is really organized evil on a scale I've never imagined before. but you have to understand there really are people who have no respect at all for our fighting men. In fact, if you read Bertrand Russell's book entitled The Impact of Science on Society, pages 50 and 51, he talks about how we're going to have selective breeding, and we have to be producing more children, so we'll have cannon fodder for the future wars. This is the way the elite look upon us common folks. And of course, he goes on to say, through selective breeding, why, we'll have two races, the elite and then the common folks, and of course, there'll be just no relationship at all between them. And if you understand that there is an elite, and these people have given themselves over to the dark side, then you can begin to understand what is really going on in the world today. If you haven't yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to. And, of course, you can get the book, you can get the video, you can get the audio tape, or you can get them all together in the Brotherhood of Darkness special. We just got an order from New South Wales from a listener over in Australia who's getting that. But the Brotherhood of Darkness book or video will give you an overview of the wars of the past and, of course, how there really are people. In many organizations, we have 2 to 3 million Masons here in America. Most of them don't understand Masonry, but they've all sworn an allegiance to the light. And they ask for the light. Of course, nobody ever tells them. The light that they're asking for is the light of Lucifer. They have their emblem on every major federal building in the United States, and certainly every federal building in Washington, D.C. They laid out the architecture of Washington, D.C. in a cult symbolism, going back, of course, to its Masonic origin. Of course, we find their emblems every place, hidden in plain sight, and the fact that nobody will tell you about that simply reflects the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Or the fact that the Masons controlled our Supreme Court, and they were the ones who took God and prayer out of our schools in the 1960s. And nobody's going to tell you that. Well, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and then get the documentation. Try to prove me wrong. And if you can't, then you have an obligation to join us in this battle. Well, we do hope many of you will give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And order, certainly, the video of The Men We Left Behind, or One Man Returned, or get the Senate Foreign Relations Committee report. That's called the Helms Committee Report, or you can get them all together with a four-tape set on Vietnam and books in the Vietnam Special. And that's certainly the most economical way to get it. That's the Vietnam Special. You can get any five of the videos we've actually produced for $69.95. And a wonderful educational opportunity for you and for the people you show them to. And then, of course, we hope you'll go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our programs there 5 hours a day, either on radioliberty.com or linking to other programs. You can listen to the archive programs. If you miss the program, at least the Radio Liberty programs are duplicated there. We're on, actually, I think, 5 different internet programs or links across America, so you can listen to many of our programs. If you don't have access to a radio program in your area, we ask you, of course, to understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men. We're moving into a great conflict. What you're seeing now in Iraq is simply a prelude to World War III. Pray for America. Pray for our leaders, our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. If you'd like a free copy of one of our newsletters, our number 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.